Good evening. Good evening. The time is 5:03. The Warwick Finance Committee is now open. May I have a motion for acceptance of the minutes from the committee meeting held on September 7th? I have a motion. I have a second. All in favor? Aye. Thank you. PCR 109-22, bid 2023-122, fire apparatus 1500 GPM pumper. Chief? Good evening. Is your microphone on?
Can you hear me now?
Yes, thank you.
Thank you. Peter McMichael, Fire Chief, Warwick Fire Department. Chairman, the Warwick Fire Department respectfully request to hold this item and the next item as well, the pumper and the rescue vehicle, till next meeting.
Thank you, Chief. So the next meeting would be October 3rd, correct? May I have a motion per request of the fire department for bid 2023-122 to hold until October 3rd meeting?
Second.
Oh, sorry. May I have a PCR? PCR 111-22. May I have a motion to hold PCR 111-22? I have a motion. I have a second. All in favor? Aye. Thank you. Per request of the chief, may I have a motion? We will assign bid 2023-121, fire apparatus type 1 ambulance, PCR 112-22. Per request of the chief, may we have this PCR, a motion to hold this PCR until October 3rd? We have the motion. We have the second. All in favor? Aye. Thank you, Chief.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bid 2023-066, land lease Winter Avenue Telecommunications Tower. Good evening, Dan.
Good evening. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Dan Geegan with the Planning Department. The department's recommending awarding this bid. The department's recommending awarding this bid to Cellco Partnership, which is Verizon Wireless. Basically, this bid involves the replacement of the tower at Clegg Field on Winter Avenue. There is an existing tower that's been there since approximately 1998. There was a fire in the tower in May of 2021, and the tower needs to be replaced. T-Mobile is at the site right now. They're interested in being there. However, they did not bid on this particular replacement. Verizon is interested as well, and we believe there's a third carrier. We're looking to relocate the tower to about 400 feet off from its current location, so that's along the tree line and away from the houses that are along Winter Avenue. Verizon's proposing to pay the city $2,000 per month with a 2% annual escalator for a 20-year period, and they're also proposing that we negotiate any co-share for additional tenants on the space. And it's about a 50 by 50 foot area, 2,500 square feet that they would be looking to enter into a ground lease. So this will come back to the council. If it's approved tonight, they'll have to go to the planning board and back to the council for approval for the new the development of the new tower.
Thank you. And this, as in my notes indicated in the notes, this is a revenue generating that would be over $580,000.
That's
a minimum. For the life of the contract?
Correct.
Yep.
With additional revenue possible through co-location on the tower.
Understood. Thank you. Are there any questions from the committee? Are there any questions, comments from the council? Any questions, comments from the public? Questions, comments from the public? Thank you. Thank you, Dan.
Thank you.
Next is bid 2023-189, remove and splice fiber network connectivity. Wait a minute. Connectivity, that is found on page 19. Oh, that's true. I apologize. So I apologize. So now is the time where we'll go to each individual. So I will call on members of the committee, council, and public. If there is any item of the last two remaining items that they would like to discuss from the bid package, I will start with the committee first. Members of the council, is there any item from the bid package you would like to have discussed? Thank you. Any items from the general public? Calling on the general public, are there any items from the bid package you would like to discuss from the bid package? No, public, yeah, no, that'll be later. Thank you. Hearing none. May I have a motion for PCR 109-22?
Second.
We have a motion. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. May I have a motion for acceptance of the minutes for the committee meeting held on September 7th, 2022?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Thank you. PCR 27-22, formerly bid 2022-333, Flock Automatic License Plate Readers. Council President McAllister.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm going to respectfully request that we hold this item of the purchase of the Flock until the October 17th meeting. We have a separate part that's kind of related to this issue in the ordinance committee, and I believe it's best that we address that issue first, and then we can, if and when that moves forward, we could discuss purchasing this. So I respectfully request that we hold this item until October 17th, which
Thank
is
you,
the second
President.
Meeting in second meeting in October.
Thank you, Mr. President. Any discussion from members of the committee? Any discussion from members of the council? Any discussion from members of the public? May I have a motion to hold PCR 27-22 until October 17th? So
moved. Second.
I have a motion. I have a second. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Thank you all. PCR 77-22, formerly bid 2022-435, removal fees for solar compacting receptacles. Is there anyone from the department to speak on this? Council President McAllister?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. I believe the members of the DPW are looking to hold this item until they have additional information has been requested, and they're not here. So if we could, I respectfully request that you hold this item as well for 2 weeks.
Till the October 17th, Mr. President?
October Why don't we hold 3rd? To the October 17th, please, because I don't know how long. We need some additional information, so let's hold to the 17th, please.
Thank you. So the motion, the request is to hold PCR 77-22 till October 17th of this year. Are there any discussion from members of the committee? Any questions, discussion from members of the council? Questions, discussion, members of the public? Hearing none, may I have a motion? I have a motion. I have a second. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Thank you. The time is now 5:12 p.m. and the Finance Committee is adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. The next committee will be the Ordinance Committee. However, cannot start until 6 p.m. So we will see you back here at 6 p.m.
Changing stuff.
Did you switch my chair?
So we have a whole ordinance committee here, so we'll convene ordinance at 6:02 p.m. The ordinance committee's first item is acceptance of minutes from the committee meeting held on August 15th, 2022.
Move acceptance.
Second.
Motion made and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Next, we have PCO 6-22, sub A, an ordinance regulating the use of automated license plate reader technology, also known as the Flock cameras. And we've already had quite a bit of discussion on this. And so before we get into the potential possibility of whether or not anyone wants to amend it, we have members of the public here who undoubtedly wish to speak about it. So if those members of the public wish to approach the mic, we can hear what they have to say before we discuss any potential amendments. Oh, no worries. And feel free. If you don't hear me, you can say speak up. The acoustics in here are very odd.
My name is Kendra Anderson. I live at 174 Wingate Ave here in Warwick. And I'm speaking as someone who's really concerned about the use of advanced surveillance equipment and how fast it's coming to different municipalities without any regulation. And I do acknowledge that they can be useful. They have some good applications and have proved across the country to help with crimes like stolen cars and missing children. So I think that they can be useful, but they are technology that is pretty advanced, and the cameras themselves can photograph many parts of a car as well as inside a car. And there's so much room to use those photographs or the data collected from the license plate readers, as they're called, or advanced, I say, surveillance equipment, that it's sort of the Wild West in our country and here in Rhode Island and now in Warwick. We tried in the state Senate. I'm here on behalf of my district and as Senator Anderson, as well as a resident. We tried to put legislation through. Rep Solomon and I did that this year. That we worked with the Cranston Police Department. We worked with Colonel Winquist. We worked with the administration and the Flock Company to come up with legislation that was amenable to everyone. That it wasn't quite where I wanted it to be, but Cranston was in favor of it. Presented it to Judiciary, which we got a really good response. But because of political reasons, it did not get pushed forward in either the House or the Senate. So we don't have regulations statewide. So each municipality is required or responsible for their use of the cameras. And that concerns me. I know that Mayor Picosi says he trusts the police department. So do I. I think we've got an amazing police department and doing wonderful things for our community. That's not the issue. The issue is not one of trust. It's one of having regulations on the books when something goes wrong. If there is a need for any kind of litigation, if there are no regulations in place, how do we fight something? So we do need at least minimal regulations in place to regulate how long the data is available. Is it indefinitely? Can we use it 10 years forward? How can you access the data? Will every municipality have access to our data? Will the state of Texas have access to our data? As regulations and laws get passed around the country, that we don't agree with here in Rhode Island, who's going to have access to our data? How much data or parts of a car can be photographed? That really needs to be set in law as well, or regulations. And how, what crimes or what uses of the cameras, how can they be used for what crimes? That needs to be specified as well. So again, as I said, I trust the Warwick Police. This is not a case of not giving them the tools they need. They do need to be able to do their job, but we need to protect civil liberties in Warwick as well as the rest of the state and the rest of our country. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman?
Well, I want to hear from
May we ask a question of the speaker?
Oh, given her role, actually, it makes sense. So, yes.
Thank you. Thank you, Senator. And thank you for your conversation here this evening. I have been in constant communication with Rep. Solomon on this issue, and he has also shared with me the legislation both from the House as well as in the Senate. And he indicated to me as recently as today that while it didn't move, let's just put it that way, it didn't move, that everyone was very close to coming to an agreement on dealing with this issue legislatively. He also indicated to me in writing that he intends to redocket this same legislation, the one that was very close to consensus at the very beginning of the General Assembly. Is that also your understanding?
I have not been in touch with him during this time period. As you know, I didn't run for re-election.
Right. I know, but you're still serving now.
But yeah, I am, exactly. And I still am a huge advocate and will continue to work on behalf of the legislation, although it didn't go forward. And I will continue after I'm no longer in the Senate, and I hope that someone will passionately take this up in 2023.
Thank you. Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you very much, counselors, for your time this evening. My name is Hannah Stern, and providing commentary from the ACLU of Rhode Island on the question of passing this ordinance concerning flock safety this evening. Senator Anderson did a very great job of kind of enumerating the many ways that this technology is expansive, the way that its actual capabilities have, I think, been underplayed in a lot of ways. It's an incredibly expansive surveillance technology that is not just limited to license plate readers. It does record, as Senator Anderson noted, these really very small details of a car. And I think it could have a very serious impact on the residential privacy in Warwick. I also know we've come before this council several times in the past few months. We've sent many pages of commentary to everyone in this room. So I don't want to belabor any points, but I do just really want to emphasize, in particular, the insufficiency of this proposed ordinance in regulating or limiting the use of this surveillance technology in really any matter. And that insufficiency of this ordinance is just compounded by the expansiveness and the invasiveness of this system. We think these both just provide a very strong basis for the summary rejection of this program to preserve, again, as Senator Anderson noted, the civil liberties of Warwick residents. Briefly, I just want to note, we have provided the council four pieces of commentary tonight. One of those is a letter that we sent you in February, which goes into our broad concerns about this technology. One is a letter that we sent in August, just a month ago, on the first iteration of this draft ordinance, for which many of the concerns remain. One is a new piece of commentary, which provides our thoughts on the deficiencies of a draft Warwick Police Department policy on Flock that we reviewed. And one letter also provides some insight into the deficiencies of the sub-A version of the ordinance before you this evening. But without going too in the weeds, the bottom line really is that each of these policies and ordinances are far too broad and vague to meaningfully limit the expansive and invasive technology that this council is considering. Neither the policy nor the ordinance protects the privacy of individuals. They do not provide adequate oversight over this technology. The oversight it does provide is flimsy and vague, we think. And we do think that this ordinance and this policy would still facilitate the inappropriate gathering of extreme amounts of data on all individuals who drive by these cameras on a daily basis. And concerningly, neither the ordinance nor the draft policy before you exercises really any true authority over what Flock Safety itself, as a private entity controlling this technology, controlling all of the data that comes through it, can do with the data. So, for example, the assurances that you may receive from this company on data retention and on the use of the data now are not those that you will necessarily receive even in the new future, in the near future, maybe even in the next month. So I think this should be a very major concern to this council as you consider the use of this technology. Over the past months, the ACLU has provided numerous reasons why we think you should reject this surveillance technology summarily, from the substantial privacy concerns to the broader issue of allowing these massive amounts of data, again, to be funneled into the hands of a private company. We are also deeply committed to public safety. But we have not heard, as the ACLU, a single compelling reason why this technology, why Flock Safety technology, is the one that has to be used to achieve this important goal. If you reject the use of this technology, you would not be alone in this endeavor. Only a few months ago, Portsmouth actually rejected a similar proposal. They rejected the use of Flock Safety technology in their city altogether for the reasons that are enumerated in the many pieces of commentary and the many letters that we've sent to this council. We urge strongly that you follow their lead tonight and substantively reject attempts to implement Flock Safety in Warwick. Thank you for your time. I'd be happy to take any questions.
Thank you. Sure.
First, I would like to thank you and the ACLU for providing commentary and also following up throughout this entire process. I've found it all to be very helpful. I suppose that my main question is, putting aside the concerns more generalized with Flock and, of course, any private company that is able to amend its own privacy policies, its own policies and terms of and conditions in general, and otherwise any organization, private, public, I think that we can all recognize that there is no such thing as absolute security. Putting that and those concerns aside for a moment, I'm not sure if there are any cities or towns in Rhode Island or otherwise that I suppose model legislation may not be the right term here, but I suppose any that you would recommend that in the event of the Warwick City Council passing this in some form, a sample of which form you would recommend it take.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for that question, Counselor. Well, I think that that's kind of a twofold answer. So I think that the legislation that's been put forward on the state level from Senator Anderson, I think, is a really great blueprint for this. But we have also put forward, there are no municipalities that have put in place a model ordinance that we would recommend. However, we do have language that we would be more than happy to provide this council. East Providence actually put it before their council. There was a lot of interest from the council. It did not go through, but we do have language that we believe would appropriately put in place very specific limitations and guidelines that we think are really important to follow. Those include, again, putting very, very, very narrow permissible uses for the cameras, which this ordinance unfortunately does not do, neither does the policy that we've seen from the Warwick Police Department. Also putting in place remedies. So if there is inappropriate use of the cameras, making sure that there are ways that people can actually have oversight over that and seek remedies if there is that inappropriate use. So there's no municipality that has passed that so far, but we do have language that we would be more than happy to provide to this council.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Members of the council, hi, my name is Chris Barker. I live at 67 Lincoln Avenue in Warwick. I just want to voice a general opposition to this for much of what these two ladies have said before me. My biggest concerns would be both constitutional and state law potential violations, being the Fourth Amendment and the state laws on privacy. And I would also have grave concerns about the data retention policies and how they would be enforced by the city of Warwick, being that it's a private company, I believe, in Georgia, that would be, you know, harvesting, collecting all the data, and also just reportability and who would have access to that data, who would have the legal access, and how all of that would be established.
All righty, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much for your time.
Good evening, members of the council. First time reading here, so I'm making a statement here and get myself organized. Give me a minute.
Can you state your name for the record,
yes,
please?
My name is Russell E. Gunlock Jr. I live at 440 Harrington Avenue in Ward 2. I, who would like to explore both sides of an issue, recently had a good talk with a police officer about the Flock cameras, and he assured me the cameras remain mounted in place and, equating it to Easy Pass, are solely focused on the license plates. That officer added how we give up our privacy once we leave our houses and go out in public. While the officer brought up some good points, I remain unconvinced. Pictures of plates does little to prove who's behind the wheel if the faces are snowed out or focused on just license plates, as my wife Karen suggested during our own discussion. A lot of moving violations are going to get dismissed for a lack of proof. As I have come to terms with Marty at my store, Stop and Shop, where I work, I have noticed a decline in human hiring that has nothing to do with the current industry-wide worker shortage. That money used to make and utilize and maintain Marty could have been better invested in living, breathing personnel. The answer to raising the minimum wage, especially in the food retail industry, is to cut back on payroll by adding more kiosks and self-checkouts. The more we automate, the less humans are needed on the job. I wonder if the police union has considered that possibility. Thank you. Any questions?
Normally, we don't do questions to the public. It's just that one of those individuals happens to be a local representative and the other one happens to be a representative of the ACLU. Of course.
Good evening. My name is Barry Cook, 109 Namquid Drive. I have three points I'd like to make and then read a brief statement. I would like the council to consider several things that I think worthy of mention. Now, I know there are some cameras that are stationary and there's some cameras that are mobile. I also understand there's a combination of stationary and mobile cameras in some cities and towns across the country. So in asking the question, I guess I'd like you to consider in the policy that's being made or the ordinance being suggested to spell out how these cameras will be used. Will they be stationary, mounted on telephone poles, pound to, post to someplace stationary, like a parking lot. I think it's interesting to know that fact. Also, I've read some stories about these cameras being used in other parts of the country. And another point that I'd like to make is some of the communities that have these cameras are using them in conjunction with automated red light and speed enforcement systems. So I would ask the council, are you considering using these flock cameras or automatic license plate readers in conjunction with automated red light and speed control systems? Thirdly, in some parts of the country, parked cars are also surveilled. So a police officer with a mobile system could ride through the airport, could ride through the Stop and Shop parking lot, could ride through the City Hall parking lot, and surveil parked cars. So my question would be, what is the intent? Will the ordinance prohibit using them with automated red light systems, automated speed control systems? Will they be a combination fixed and mobile? And will parked cars also be surveilled? I'd like to read a brief statement. I have more to offer, but I learned tonight from Councilman Ricks that there was a policy recently approved by the Warwick Board of Safety. I haven't read that yet. I'm not familiar with it. But just some points. Many people, including myself, think that these cameras are certainly an invasion of privacy. As I understand the use throughout the country, and I'm not sure about Warwick, but they also can take pictures of people in the cars, not only the operator, but a passenger. If our intent is to surveil license plates, then I think any policy has to say that not to be taking pictures of drivers or passengers. That is happening throughout the country. The data collected from these systems is vast, and in my opinion, as well as others, overreaching. So I think it's clear that we need to know what the policy and the goal is for implementing this system in Warwick. Perhaps the policy that was recently passed spells that out. I don't know. Also throughout the country, there are incidents of abuse, not only by law enforcement agencies, but also individual law enforcement officers. For an example, there are several cases where an individual police officer has decided that he or she wants to track an individual license plate. For whatever reason, I don't know, but they want to track an individual license plate. In one instance that I recently read, a female police officer in another state learned after she left the police department that there had been 492 inquiries of her license plate and her driver's license information. So we don't want to be overreaching here. I know, again, as Councilman Ricks told me, that there's a policy having been issued. I'll take the time to find that and read it. But it's important to say that a well-developed mission statement should be prepared, laying out exactly what the purpose of this technology of automated license plate readers is. What is our mission statement? What is our goal? What is our aim? There must be a comprehensive policy statement as to how long the data will be stored, a policy statement laying out who has access to this material, and it should be on a limited basis. Record keeping, how long will the information be kept? Who will be in charge of the information? There should be access logs. Anytime an individual or an agency accesses this information, there should be a record of it. It must be the policy of the city administration that no database information will be sold. The collected data must not be shared with any private party or non-law enforcement agencies or companies. There is much more to be discussed, but I'm not prepared to go any further. I will come back at a later date after I've read the policy put out by the Board of Public Safety. If there are any questions, I'll be glad to answer them.
Thank you, sir, for your testimony.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else who wishes to speak, members of the public? All right, well, seeing none, we can move on to discussion amongst the council. And full disclosure on my end, my goal for this evening is to make sure this goes to the full council for discussion and any amendments that might be desired, as opposed to hashing it out in committee, because we, as we all remember from last time when we attempted to do that, it was very hectic and it got confusing and difficult for everyone to follow. And it really didn't do anyone any favors. So having it to the full council means everyone can all equally participate rather than the kind of wonky structure that is the committee process. And it can also make sure we have the time and energy necessary to properly consider amendments. That being said, it doesn't stop us from discussing the ordinance now. So is there any member of the committee that wishes to speak regarding the proposed ordinance? Councilman Ricks.
Thank you, Chairman. First, if I may, I would have a question for the Chief of Police. Good evening, Colonel. A question for clarification. I emailed you earlier this afternoon. I apologize for giving you short notice on this. I noticed in the general order from the Board of Public Safety in Article 8, Section A, there's a reference to data will be transferred from vehicles to the designated storage in accordance with department procedures. It was previously my understanding that the flock cameras would be mounted stationary. So I wanted to get clarification on whether there would be any ALPR cameras in motor vehicles.
There will not be. All the cameras that we intend on purchasing will be stationary, affixed to poles. That section in the policy refers to any instance where an officer may access a flock system from their laptop computer in the vehicle. But we will not be having moving ALPR technology.
That makes sense. Thank you. Let's see. While I have the floor, I'll make some more general comments. So we as a city council have heard from the public, not just tonight, but from seeing members of the public come on previous occasions where this has been scheduled to be heard. It seems that of the members of the public who are attending meetings, there are a lot of reservations, if not outright opposition, to moving forward with this. I've similarly heard a lot of opposition when speaking with constituents as I knock on doors and if the issue comes up, as well as at the Norwood Neighborhood Association, where members approached me after the meeting and we had phone and email conversations afterwards. That's not to say that I don't believe that this, once the ordinance is more fully amended, I'm not opposed to having an up or down vote. However, I do think that we need to have that final product posted, visible to the public after amendments have been proposed and passed, so that the public sees the option of here is the best version that we can come up with and give that version an up or down vote. So to get into some of my more specific concerns, and these are independent from the latest correspondence from the ACLU. I think that the ACLU commentary has added a lot, so I don't mean to skip over anything listed in there as well, and I would eagerly await any model legislation that we receive from that organization, who has been doing a lot of work on this subject. So with those caveats, the potential issues that I have with the policy issued by the Board of Public Safety, and as I had expressed to the chief in an email earlier today, are as follows. First, in Article 2, titled Policy. Section B has a list of, quote, official law enforcement purposes, quote, for the data, but then has a separate sentence which states, quote, it may also be used to gather information related to active warrants, homeland security, electronic surveillance, suspect interdiction, stolen property recovery, and active criminal investigations. I'm concerned about the inclusion of the phrase electronic surveillance, if not part of work relating to an active warrant or to suspect interdiction or part of an active criminal investigation. I'm not sure exactly what the phrase electronic surveillance would mean in that context without any caveats. And I understand that that there is just a general policy, not a matter of getting into the specifics of the do's and don'ts. It's more of a mission statement, if you will. However, I do think that that needs to be refined for clarity to the public, and also because I think that once we get into those specifics, it can be helpful to refer back to that policy as stated in Article 2. Second item, and several items having to do with Article 8. So item 2 on my list is Article 8, Section A, referring to data transferred, data will be transferred from vehicles. I believe that the colonel addressed that, but I think that the language could use a little bit of clarification just so that the public is clear on it and so that it isn't later misinterpreted as data going one way, not the other way. Item 3 on my list, Article 8, Section B, still includes the phrase, quote, civil action or is a subject to a discovery request or other lawful action to produce records, quote. Either the phrase, quote, civil action, quote, or the phrase, quote, discovery request or other lawful action to produce records, quote, could open up the scope beyond that of ALPR data that has become or that the department reasonably believes may become evidence in a criminal action. I understand that there are other provisions that expressly prohibit the release of ALPR data, including in Article 11, but having a seeming contradiction in Article 8 may create enough ambiguity for abuse or unintended consequences. Item 4 on my list, Article 8, Section D uses the phrase, quote, public safety purposes, quote, which could be interpreted very broadly. I'll skip over some of the details on that. 5, similarly, quote, ALPR data, quote, and that's a phrase that's used throughout this document. The phrase ALPR data is not defined in the definitions section. Without a definition of ALPR data or distinguishing between types of ALPR data, the scope of what may be released pursuant to Article 11, quote, releasing ALPR data, quote, is ambiguous. I can understand the hesitation to have hard and fast rules that take away the discretion of the chief or the chief's authorized designees. However, at least having some guidelines on the scope of the ALPR data that may be released would be helpful for transparency. It would also be helpful as a guardrail here. Continuing on to Article 11, releasing of ALPR data. Item 6 on my list is list of concerns is the phrase, quote, as otherwise permitted by law, quote, at the end of the sentence, quote, the ALPR data may be shared only with other law enforcement or prosecutorial agencies for official law enforcement purposes or as otherwise permitted by law, may tend to open the door to use in civil actions and the like, as civil actions are, quote, otherwise permitted by law, quote. Perhaps it could be changed so that, and I'll spare you the weeds, but changed so that it's more specific that we're not looking to allow for this to be used in civil actions. We're not looking for this to be allowed for motor vehicle code enforcement. These are all items that I think that we all agree on. The chief has expressed that we're not looking to use these ALPR cameras for motor code enforcement or allowing them to be used for civil actions. But when it comes to these policies, I really want to see that spelled out at every single step so that we're certain, as much as we possibly can be, that that doesn't happen.
You have 30 seconds left.
Item 7, Article 11 is unclear on whether, quote, ALPR data, quote, that may be shared in general, as a matter of course, would include everything that was captured by flock cameras, including, for example, raw images and metadata, or if it would be more limited, unless the requesting law enforcement agency specifically requested ALPR data that includes raw images and metadata. For example, could there be a request for all ALPR data from a particular camera for 30 days? I feel that that kind of data could be easily abused when shared.
Councilman Ricks, your time is up. Do any other members of the council wish to speak on this? Councilman Foley.
Question for the chief. Upon getting notified that the Public Safety Committee had developed guidelines and a policy, specific to that policy, that was not written in a vacuum, correct?
No, it wasn't.
You had input from various solicitors, lawyers, attorneys?
Other chiefs of police, correct. We modeled our policy off the Cranston policy.
And as of today, as you know of, there is no legal court challenge from the ACLU or any other entity challenging those regulations?
None to my knowledge.
Thank you.
Do any other members of the council wish to speak? Councilman Lattiser.
Thank you, Chairman. So my understanding from your opening comments is that you're looking to move this to the floor for full discussion on the floor.
Yes.
Thank you. I'll reserve my comments till then and questions. Thank you.
Alrighty. And I know other members of the public have come in since we started. So if any of the new arrivals wish to comment or speak on the flock cameras, please feel free to step forward to the mic. And while we wait for that possibility, any other members of the council that wish to speak on this? All right, seeing none and seeing no movement amongst the general public, I'd like to move this to the floor for discussion, or move this to the full council for discussion and any amendments. So consider that a motion. A motion made and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Motion passes. And that concludes Ordinance Committee at 6:40 p.m.
Thank you, Chairman Sinapi. Just to recap, we're going to move this, the committee has recommended to move to the full council for discussion, so that will start at 7 o'clock at the full council meeting. Next up is the Public Safety Committee, and that can start when the committee is ready. Thank you.
Good evening. Public safety is called to order at 6:41. First item is the acceptance of minutes from committee meeting held on September 7th. Do we have a motion?
Move favorable action.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. First item, PCR 95-22, a resolution regards to erecting stop signs at the intersection of Boker Street and Cumberland Road. Council President McAllister.
Thank you, Chairman. I had a traffic study on this done. It was recommended by the police department. We did have one constituent who had reached out to me last month regarding this. I did have the police department reach out to her to get her concerns. I do support this. I do support the traffic division's recommendation. The traffic study was there for this. There is a daycare at the bottom of the hill, and it's kind of one way in, one way out in that community, in that neighborhood there, especially in that one area there. So I agree with the traffic study that was conducted, and I have talked to a number of individuals in that neighborhood that support this as well. So I respectfully request favorable action on this. Thank you.
Thank you. Any comments from the committee? Any comments from the council? Any comments from the public? Seeing none, do we have a motion?
Move favorable action.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. The committee closes at 6:43.
Thank you, Chairman Foley. The next committee is the Intergovernmental Committee, and that can start when the committee is ready as well. Thank you.
Are you in charge of this?
It is now 6:44, and the Intergovernmental Committee is now in session. The first order of business is acceptance of the minutes from the committee meeting held on September 7, 2022. Do we hear a motion?
Motion to accept.
I can't second because I was absent.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Abstain.
The next order of business is PCR 104-22, a resolution to the Rhode Island Department of Transportation and the State Traffic Commission to perform a traffic study at the intersection of Centerville Road and Cedar Pond Drive. Councilman Sinapi.
So first off, this is a great example of if you're a member of the general public and there's an issue that's been around forever and you think there's nothing anybody can do about it and you don't bother to ask, you really should ask. This, I used to actually live over here, and I was of the opinion that nothing could be done about it because it's been forever. Right outside Royal Crest Apartments, right on Centerville Road, very busy intersection, and there were regularly accidents there, but people just kind of accepted it. But one constituent called in and asked for a traffic study, just like anyone else can. And I told her at the time I was skeptical because of the street and how busy it already is and the unlikelihood of what she wanted to get being a recommendation, which is a traffic light. Lo and behold, when the officer did the study, that intersection is terrible, to put it gently, as far as for accident rates. For the comparable intersections that do have lights, there was roughly, I think, like 30 accidents over the period of time that was looked into, whereas this intersection had over 100 and change. So it was drastically different. So hopefully the state looks at that and agrees and they can get something done. As those who recall, usually when it's a state issue, we have to ask them to do a traffic study as opposed to just implementing the recommendation of the Warwick officer. But they did finally implement the study recommendations for Greenwich and Main Ave and East Ave. So hopefully this one will eventually get done as well. So I request favorable action.
Any questions from the committee? Any questions from the council? Any questions from the public? Hearing none, do I hear a motion?
I move favorable action.
Second.
Having a motion and a second, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
It is now 6:47 and the Intergovernmental Committee
has adjourned.
Thank you very much, Chairman. That is it for committees this evening. The full City Council meeting will start at 7 p.m. We do have public comment this evening, and there is a sign-up sheet on the podium there. So you feel free to sign up if you would like to speak on any topic related to Warwick. That will be at the start of the council meeting as well. And we will see everybody at 7 p.m. Thank you.